The Science Show on RN. Some swearing in a few minutes, be warned. Before then, I bring you A Squid, The Vibrio and the Moon, a delightful little book for kids and us, produced by a combination of scientists and artists. I met Ailsa Wild and her friends in Melbourne. Ailsa, where did this book come from? Who was the first person to come up with the idea?
Gregory. Gregory was the guy. He's had this idea for ages. He called me and said, I've got this idea. Would you be up for being the writer on it?
And why did you say that, Gregory?
I wanted to start telling some positive stories about microorganisms because I just think society has a very negative perception about bacteria, about viruses, about fungi, and we need some positive stories about them.
Even though each person listening consists of a trillion cells and yet 100 trillion visitors and parasites and microorganisms, so you are more germs than you are yourself.
Precisely.
Now, you studied these things in Queensland, did you?
That's right. I looked at bacteria, the populations of bacteria in sewage. I worked under TERD for about 10 years on how they break down and the nutrients in sewage.
I see. And then you decided you were going to write a book aimed mainly at children, Gregory?
Yeah. It seems to hit a mark of six-year-olds up, although we've heard from a lot of adults that they're really enjoying the book as well.
Well, may I say, it's a combination of good science, beautiful pictures and fun writing. Ailsa, would you tell a bit of the story?
So the story is told in two parts. The first part is from the perspective of Ali, who is a single bacterium, and she is going on a journey into a squid. And so most of her story is about the adventure of getting to the crypt inside the squid where she's going to live and be safe and be fed. And she is also going to help the squid to light itself up so that the squid can disguise itself as moonlight, like an invisibility cloak.
And that's based on real science, is it, Gregory?
Yeah, absolutely. A husband and wife team worked for about 20 years in Hawaii, really dedicated at looking at this fine relationship between the Vibrio fischeri bacteria and the Hawaiian bobtail squid.
And they can actually light up.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a good million-odd bacteria, that cell density signalling, to get the illumination glowing, but they can really light up.
Ailsa, the second part of the story.
The second part of the story is told from the perspective of the squid, who has just hatched. So I think part of the science is that the baby squids hatch and they don't have these particular bacteria inside them, and then within a very short period of time, the bacteria colonise the squid. And so he hatches, and then he's attacked by several predators, including a fish that's got teeth on its tongue, which is really awesome, and a monk seal. And for the early part of its life, the first few hours, he can't light up, and so he can't disguise himself. He has no camouflage. And then at the very end, he suddenly is able to light up and camouflage himself, and then he can eat lots of shrimp and be safe.
Bugs to the rescue. Now, that experience of not having any bacteria is more or less the same as babies, because babies on the way out have not terribly much in terms of the kinds of bugs that you actually need. But passing through the mother's passage, they accumulate.
Mm.
And so the process goes on. Is that what you meant to imply in your story?
That hadn't occurred to me when I was writing that story. That's something I know. My mother's actually a midwife. So I kind of have heard those stories and the information about baby's health. But it didn't actually occur to me while I was writing the story of Ali and CPO, the bobtail squid.
Gregory, what's become more and more interesting as time has passed in the last, what, say, 20 years, is how extraordinary the mix of bacteria in our own guts is crucial to maintaining all sorts of aspects of health that you wouldn't really even think of. And both the health report and indeed the Science Show have talked about the rise of fecal transplants.
Yes.
Where you actually need some of the shit from somebody else to replace what you've had depleted, which has made you sick. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is revolutionary. The information coming in about what's been in us all along is transforming medicine right before our eyes. I remember back when I was briefly working at UNSW in Sydney, there was a researcher there who was exploring fecal transplantation back in 2003. And I tell these stories at dinner parties for a laugh. People thought I was crazy And here we are 10 years later with clinical proof that they really can help.
Okay, so what's been the reaction to the book so far? Gregory first.
Look, we've had an amazing response. It's been so overwhelmingly positive. We are moving on to the next story now, and we are really feeling a lot of momentum. We're going to continue to tell more stories about microbes.
Yeah, I read the story to my nieces on Christmas Day in the evening, and one of my nieces is 4 years old, and she hasn't got particularly great attention span, but she just sat and listened to the whole thing while I read it to her. So that was quite amazing, because I actually didn't think that it was aimed at someone that young. And then I've heard that again and again from other adults who've read the story to their children, that their children have just sat and listened. And even the two-year-olds who look at it, look at the different squids and say, is that the same squid or is it a different squid? They really enjoy the illustrations.
And do they do that in schools? Have teachers taken it?
We tested the book at Princes Hill Primary School before we even went to print. We took it in there and read it to a bunch of grade 3-4s. Yep. And that was a really great process for us, and we actually edited the book based on that. And at this point, no schools particularly have picked it up. We've had a bunch of teachers who are friends of friends who've bought copies, but we would love it to get further into the curriculum. And I think the plan is that we're going to write a whole series of microbial symbiosis stories, and that they can actually become educational texts that schools can use.
Gregory, you said the next story. What is that?
Coral.
Coral.
I think it's a very good time to tell that story. It may not be a happy ending, but I think it's a symbiosis story that needs to be told.
I was once told that in one drop of ocean water, you might have 100,000 viruses. But you think it's just clean seawater, but in fact, it's a living world.
Yeah, viruses in ocean water, it's an interesting story, because the scientist who we're working most closely with, Madeleine Van Oppen, at the Australian Institute of Marine Sciences in Townsville, her specific target is viruses and what their role is in the coral symbiosis and how they might affect things.
I think that is amazing, that sense of the world that you can't see, the invisible world, and being able to tell those stories of the invisible world that people don't actually know about, the burgeoning ocean that's full of different life forms.
And also, are you full bore on corals already?
Oh, look, I know nothing. With the squid book, Gregory fed me a whole bunch of science papers, which I've trawled through and tried to understand, and then we sat down and he talked me through the science. You know, what I know about coral is it's pretty and there is a symbiosis, and that's about it.
Yes, you've got the little coral itself, which is an animal, and within it you've got the algae, which provide the sugars, and that's why you need light coming in. That's why they live at a certain level in the sea. It's fascinating stuff, isn't it? Congratulations. Amazing. The book is superb.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Squid, the Vibrio and the Moon by Ailsa Wild, Gregory Crocetti and Aviva Reed. It's very clever and great fun.